morning.
Grace, good morning. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. First John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and thank you for your presence. And help us, God, to just come close to you and just to spend time with you this morning and to intercede for our friends and to hear your voice this morning. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 John 1, 5 and 6, it says, God is light, there is no darkness. And then John says something very interesting. He says, if we claim that we have fellowship with God, but we still walk in darkness, we still walk in sin, we're living a lie and we're not telling the truth. And when Pastor Ryan, Dr. Ryan Chang was here on, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, he said something very interesting. He was talking about how the Bible was put together, how they decided on which book was going to be included in the Bible. And he talked about how John, the Apostle John, was the one that lived the longest out of all the apostles. And John's books were written the latest out of all the books that's written in the Bible. The last person to have written the books was John. So what he was saying was that when John was writing his Gospel of John and his letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, John had all the he could have read all the other books. All the other Gospels were already there by the time he set out to write the Gospels. And all the other letters by Paul and Peter and all the teachings that were already circulating by the time John sat down to write his books. So he had all this time to really think about what everyone has said and to think carefully about, man, what am I going to leave behind, right? So he was very careful with his writing because he didn't want to just repeat what everybody else had written. So he would read it and then he like thought about, okay, what can I leave behind? Because he wrote them when he was, you know, quite a bit old, and he was the last remaining like original apostle. First-hand relationship with Jesus. He's also known as the beloved disciple. So, I mean, I say that to say, I think John's writings are very important. Maybe, I don't know if you can say it's more important than the other books, but very, very important, because when he wrote them, he had all the other ones and he could really think about, okay, what is missing and what I really have to write and teach the church so that they will keep walking in the ways of God. And so when I was reading this book, 1 John, I was kind of meditating upon that and thinking about that. And what I kept seeing from John's writings is his emphasis on righteous living. So I just want to read a few passages that's here. I'll just read it to you. You can just listen. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." 1 John chapter 2, 29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." 1 John 3, 6. "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him." 1 John 3, 9 to 10. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." 1 John 5:18. "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them." Yeah? So there's a lot of writings in John. A lot of times he points out, he says, if you're a liar, if you say that you have a relationship with God, if you say that you believe in God, but you continue to live a life of sin and you ignore the commands of God and you live in darkness, you're lying. Your faith or your relationship with God is not genuine. And I think in the church, in our day and age, we're a little bit afraid to talk about righteous living, I think, because we don't want to offend people. Yeah, we don't want to seem too religious. And we think, it's all about being loving. It's all about, you know, just encouraging people and being loving and accepting. And that's true, you know, we're called to be loving and God is love and we need to accept people and be inviting for people to come to know God. But it's just in the Bible. And I mean, John must have thought it through. And he was the beloved disciple. He's known for talking a lot about the love of God and the love for each other and stuff like that. But he keeps talking about the importance of living righteously and avoiding sin. And we say, you know, Christianity, it's not a religion, it's not rules and regulation, but it's about a relationship with God, right? It's not it's not rules and requirements. But it says in 1 John 5:3, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome." So he's saying, well, if you say you have a relationship with God, this love relationship, intimacy with God, how that's going to manifest itself is a life of obedience. You can't just say, oh, it's all about a relationship with God and it doesn't really matter that much. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't go together. And I'm thinking that we need to kind of correct this. You know, we can't just be too afraid to tell people and to tell new believers that it's important for you to live righteously, to avoid sin, and to get rid of that kind of disobedience and darkness in your life. You know, John, when he was writing this, he had all the other writings of the Gospels and the letters, and he could think, what am I going to leave behind? And he wanted to leave this idea behind that you need to live righteously, that if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a child of God, that means you're going to leave your life of sin and Do your best to live righteously. And I think this is something that we should be teaching new believers as well. I just did a few baptism classes, and some of them have just come out of Alpha, and they have, you know, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think, again, part of our culture nowadays is we're too afraid to tell them what to do. Right? Tell people, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to, like, step on people's toes. So we just kind of say, oh, that's okay. Oh, no, it's good, and God loves you, and it's all about that. But I think we have to get to a place where we can say, oh, but you need to leave your life of sin. You guys know the story in John 8 when the adulterous woman comes before Jesus and people are like, do we stone her? And Jesus says, well, whoever is without sin casts the first stone. And so no one does anything because they all know that they have sinned, so they leave. And Jesus goes up to her and he says, has no one condemned you? And the woman says, no one, sir. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. But he doesn't end it there. He doesn't just say, oh, neither do I condemn you. It's okay. It's all good. Don't worry about it. He says, but now go and leave your life of sin. Right? So there is the acceptance and the grace. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, new believers that come and, you know, they struggle with lots of different things. We have to be accepting and loving and gracious. But we don't just end there. We need to be able to teach them, but now go and leave your life of sin. Because loving God and living for God and having a relationship with God means not living in darkness anymore, not living in disobedience anymore. And we need to be able to teach them and say, yeah, if you claim to know God and yet you continue to live in willful sin and don't do anything about it, you're a liar and you're not in truth. And I think the challenge for us is how do we ensure that our teaching and this Christian life doesn't quickly turn into rules and regulations, and we just have to. It's a balance, you know. We have to walk that fine line of really loving and truly accepting people with grace and no condemnation and with gentleness, right? Receiving people, but we can't just ignore, you know, the teaching in 1 John that says we need to live righteously. So I think one of the things we can do, we can remember to make sure it doesn't turn into just rules and regulations, is that firstly, it's not our fear or our, I don't know, just our sense of performance mentality that motivates us to obey God, but it's the love of God that motivates us, right? It's experiencing God's love and who He is and His goodness and His kindness. That should be the motive and the thankfulness that we have in response to what He has done for us. That becomes our motivation. And if that's the motivation, then it's less likely for it to just become rules and regulations and duty and things you have to keep track of. But it's you desire to obey God. You desire to obey God because you have experienced His goodness and you've experienced His kindness and forgiveness. And that's why our response is, I now want to obey and walk in righteousness. And secondly, we always have to make sure that there is no condemnation, that is true. John will continue, you know, 1 John, he keeps talking about leaving your life of sin, but he also keeps talking about how there is forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, oh, I can't do it, there's so much, too much pressure. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And again and again, he talks about, yeah, if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. But if you say you have sin, God will forgive you. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ who's going to bring His forgiveness and love. And so there is this idea that there is no condemnation. There's always forgiveness available. And I think that has to also be taught so that it doesn't just become rules and regulations. And the third thing to remind people is that the Holy Spirit is in us and He's helping us. Right, he talks about how the Spirit of God is what God has sent as a seal of our salvation, and how the Spirit of God helps lead us into the truth. You know, 1 John 4:4, it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." I think this is talking about Jesus Christ. But the same idea that it's not just you're not on your own to now try and live a life of righteousness, but you have someone that's helping you, and you have Jesus Christ who is in you. You have the Holy Spirit whom God has sent to you. And it's not you're not on your own, but God is there to help you. The anointing is there to help you live this life of righteousness. So, you know, let's do it together. So, just something for us to remember, maybe in discipling other people, but also in your own life. Sometimes we can just take God maybe too much for granted and just kind of not take our sin and our disobedience very seriously. And we just think, oh, whatever, you know, God's so forgiving and he's so loving, he's so good, it's all good. But it's not. 1 John, he says, if we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, yet continue to walk in the darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. But if we say we know him, but we do not do what he commands, we're a liar and the truth is not in that person. So again and again, there's so much in there. It's almost so simple. What John is saying is, just if a sure sign, a measure of your relationship with God is that you live righteously, you know. And it sounds harsh, and it sounds like, man, it's so rules and regulation. It's not loving, but it's the Bible, right? And it's so simple, but it's true that if you continue to live a life of willful sin, maybe you're living a lie. Maybe the truth is not in you. And we need to be convicted of that. And that desire in us to live righteously, to honor God with our lives, it's already in us because we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in us, but we can't just ignore it, you know, but we gotta allow the Holy Spirit to help us really live out this righteous life. So let's go before God. I have to lead worship because we're missing a sound person. So please bear with me. As we sing this song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let's think about that. You know, if we say that we love God, really it means that we are deciding to obey Him. If you've taken experiencing God, Blackaby says, if we have an obedience problem, it's not that we have an obedience problem, but that we have a love problem. That there is something there where we're struggling to really love God fully. And just Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and speak and convict us, God, convict our hearts, and help us to truly walk in obedience to your words, God, to your commands, and whatever you're calling us to do. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me From them I reclaim. Set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit if there's any area that He is convicting us to live in righteousness, to live in obedience to His commands. If He highlights an area, let's just go before God with that and ask for His help. And if He doesn't, you know, don't just condemn yourself. Just allow the Holy Spirit to show us an area if there is anything that we are falling short somewhere. Let's go before God in a corporate prayer. Let's pray for first our brothers and sisters and family members that are living with cancer and going through chemotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing to come. And let's just pray for the power of God for healing. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide and pray for those that need healing and salvation. Let's pray that God will move powerfully in their lives. Let's pray for others that just are struggling with various infirmities. Let's pray for healing to come and God's encouragement to come. Let's go to the fourth slide and pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor, guidance, and direction. Let's pray for God's encouragement as well upon them as they are in this waiting period. Let's go to our Saturday prayer focus. For our mission focus, let's pray for Indonesia. Pray for Febe Ministry and Pastor Salamat and Kupang, the place we visit, and also pray for Singapore. Pastor Ricky's going to go there, but he's going there next week to preach there. But let's just pray for the church, SV Singapore, and pray for all the lay leaders there, the board members, and let's pray that the church will thrive, even though they don't have a designated lead pastor there yet. Let's just pray that the leaders there will be encouraged and anointed, and they'll be able to really have joy in serving the church. Let's pray together for these two areas. Let's pray for the education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. And good news, almost our 9th floor and 10th floor are almost done. So let's pray that everything will be done quickly and nicely, and that we'll be able to... The 10th floor, we're already using that place for SP Youth. The 9th floor, we're just waiting for it to be fully finished and cleaned. So let's just pray for those places that they'll get ready quickly, and let's pray for the leaders and for the children to really encounter God even at a young age. Let's pray together. Let's pray for SP 2.0 and a possible donor. Let's pray in response to God's word. God seems to be telling us that there's a bigger space and that he wants to expand our church. But let's pray that our church would just be ready, that we would be able to just obey God and get ourselves ready for a new building. And let's also pray that God will send us, or that we'll get connected with the right donor and the right building. So let's just pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for all the weekend activities. Growing in Christ is finished, so there's no more Growing in Christ today. EMP Bible study that goes on some Saturday, let's pray that it'll be a powerful time. For the prison outreach that happens on Saturdays, pray for that. And the Sunday service is tomorrow. Noah's Ark and youth group tomorrow. Worship team, Pastor Hyunsu is leading worship tomorrow, and hospitality ministry for Sunday service, and Yaman and Yamama, they are meeting today, so we can pray for them, the young adults ministry, and marketplace ministry, let's pray for that as well, and all the meetings that we have this Sunday, the board is meeting this Sunday, so let's pray for that. And also the worship team is having our worship team training today, so you can cover that for us as well, please. So let's pray together for all the weekend activities. Let's pray for our house church's meeting today. Let's pray that it'll be a powerful time, a meaningful gathering today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us this morning just to come before you and meet with you and to hear from you. And help us, God, as we pray on our own. Help us to just connect with you and hear your voice, God, this morning. And we want to give the rest of this day to you. Everything that we're doing, I pray that it will give you glory. It will put a smile on your face and help us to really live in obedience, God, to your commands, Lord. And thank you that the one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world, and that you are with us, God, to really live a life of victory, God, here in this world. So we give ourselves to you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.